whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We normally do the Pettycast on Tuesday, but as we were kind of going through things yesterday, I'm like, well, this is petty, and this is petty, and there's really no place to park this stuff to where you build a topic off of it, but this would be really fun to hit these things rapid-fire style.
Look, when Pettycast is done right, it's not something that gets old with time.
Yeah, it's something you can...
We could do it every day.
We could. There's a lot of petty out there in this world. Not sure if you've noticed.
We're pretty petty to begin with.
Yes.
I mean, the whole show is pretty much Pettycast. But,
indeed.
No, we just amp it up during this.
That's right. So let's get a little petty on a Thursday, shall we? All right. And this might be me being petty. This was... here was J.J. Watt on the Pat McAfee Show doing his weekly hit yesterday. And I think this is right out of the chute. J.J. takes a swing at Pat McAfee's Indianapolis Colts.
There's an organization out there that people thought might not make a move after this season. They decided not to make a move after this season. But they have in the past made a move mid-season where they brought in a former player with no head coaching experience. And I'm curious if that's something you would ever consider if a certain season didn't go a certain way and you got a phone call and they said, hey, we need an intern that could possibly turn into a full-time. Would you possibly be interested in, say, an old team of yours calling to do a job if they're not doing well, which they haven't done well in quite a while?
They did fire their coach. They hired Rich Rodriguez. You're talking about West Virginia? That's who you're talking about?
I'm talking about the one in the AFC South that hasn't won it in, like, forever.
Oh, you're talking about the Colts. You're talking about the Indianapolis Colts.
Okay, so that was J.J. taking a shot at the Colts. And that show, you know, the two of them, that's kind of become a thing since J.J. started going on that show.
Yeah.
You know, J.J.'s all about the Texans, which we love. And Pat McAfee is a Colts legend who's got a complicated relationship with the team right now, but I think still loves the Colts overall. Here's where I'm at with this. And this is, I will admit, this petty may be me. I don't know, man. Like, this Colts-Texans thing going on, this is a national show that McAfee is on here. I feel like this would be the equivalent of just me, somebody handing me a podcast about the Sun Belt Conference and saying, hey, you want to take a listen to this here? Like, is the nation up for this Texans versus Colts thing that J.J. and McAfee have been stretching out all year
long? It would be more about the, you know, J.J. and Pat McAfee are both celebrities in the sports world in their own right.
Yeah.
So it's more about them going at each other than I think. But as a Texans fan, I'm kind of like, man, like arguing about who's at the tippy top of the AFC South Mountain.
I'm a little embarrassed by it.
Yeah.
I'm a little embarrassed by it.
So I got like, who's the better B student? I don't know. There's it almost like it's,
someone's a generous grader for the AFC South.
Yeah. So I might actually be less into it than teams that don't have a fighting interest in it. There's another part too where that now that McAfee has publicly divorced the Colts, it almost feels like you're trying to jab a wound that's already been acknowledged.
Yeah.
You know, like you're trying to, you know, like when you admit a mistake and somebody is like,
keeps bringing it up.
Yeah, but what about that time?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I know. I just talked about it.
Okay.
I just talked about that mistake that I made.
Okay. Well, that makes me want JJ to do it a little more then. Okay. That's
like
an interesting point.
Bill O'Brien and Tom Brady getting into it on the sideline.
Yeah.
That was a scenario in which Tom Brady had said, yeah, I messed up. I know. And Bill O'Brien was like, yeah, but you messed
but
up.
You messed up.
And Tom Brady's like, I know.
Yeah.
Okay, and it
read
did get, it, and it, that got his goat.
Yeah.
That got Tom Brady's goat. Okay.
Yeah, I feel like part of it is I feel like J.J. Watt's above debating the Texans and the Colts in the AFC South.
This
you
is
know?
The thing that's part, it's probably unfair because I don't watch that show a lot. I kind of see clips of it more.
Same.
I've always felt like when McAfee is going over the top on the Colts and everything, it feels a little bit, it doesn't feel the same as like a dyed-in-the-wool, like true blue fan of the organization or whatever. That I don't know. I don't want to say it feels contrived, but it just doesn't, and that might just be on my take on it because I hate the Colts. So that's the other part of it that kind of rings hollow for me.
Yeah, I just want them to kind of stop doing it. That's all. All right, this one.
I guess more of that, I guess it's like, how can anybody love the Colts? Like, how could you love the Colts?
It's weird. It's
everything
weird.
They stand for.
Yeah, yeah.
The historical atrocities and whatnot.
And yet they pack the stadium every week. It's weird.
Kind of like cheering for Mussolini or something.
Same exact thing.
Yeah, that's what they are. A bunch of those Italians that you hate.
I don't hate Italians. What are you talking about?
You despise them.
That's not true.
That's
at
about
all.
The height of the racial diversity in Indianapolis. We allow Italians in.
I wish I were Italian. Nobody eats more Italian food and watches more Sopranos than I do.
Seriously, it is. Like, there's times when I was playing in Indianapolis where you're looking up at the stands. And you're like, because Houston's so diverse. There's times I'd look up at the stands. I'd be like, gosh, I feel like I'm in a baseball game in the 1930s.
Yeah.
Like, this is wow. This is different. Yeah.
I'm in a clone factory here. On-field jersey swaps. Not a big fan of them myself. Definitely not a big fan of what we saw here in this exchange between Roger Rosengarten and Myles Garrett on the Hard Knocks AFC North. The Ravens playing the Browns this past Saturday.
Rosengarten's an offensive tackle, a rookie offensive tackle.
Yeah,
out there playing versus the Browns, and he wanted to profess his admiration to Myles Garrett, the guy who's actually playing against,
who's probably destroying him in that game. here's what it sounded like. Take a listen.
I know I'm a nobody, but I get that jersey after.
Hey, you in the league? Y'all winning games? Y'all looking great? Yeah, never nobody. I got you.
You got me?
Yeah.
All right, so if you couldn't hear, it was a little muffled. Rosengarten says to Myles Garrett, hey, I know I'm a nobody, but can I get that jersey after the game? And Myles Garrett puts his arm around him in the midst of getting blown out by the Ravens and says, you're never a nobody. You're winning games. You're looking good. I got you. And he says, Rosengarten says, thanks, buddy. You love this, Seth.
I sent a screen cap of this to actually Tony Baselli. Baselli and I had a conversation this year. And Baselli's like super religious and everything. Good dude. But he...
Except for this.
Well, no. Like, he feels like there's a place for football hatred in your life. Like, you should hate your opponent. Football, hate your opponent.
Yeah.
And this guy... Now, Rosengarten's played well, and he's on a really good team. Like, he's part of a really good team. Played a bunch as a rookie. That's the thing that's the saving grace is that he plays for the Ravens. But, like, that's a dude you're playing against. Like, why are you sitting there, like, bowing down to him and asking for his jersey? I don't like the jersey swap in general with the opponent.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah.
Unless it's somebody you actually know or something. And, like, the jersey swap where it started, you know, with soccer and rugby and those sports, it's almost like it's supposed to be an extreme show of respect, like after you battled somebody, or you're almost like the greater player is acknowledging the younger player, where now it's just become a way to get trinkets for your rec room.
I don't like it at all, man. It's a flea market, is what it is.
Can you at least pretend you hate the opponent?
Right.
It's disgusting.
I was a little surprised. I saw this clip and the caption in the tweet, you know, because there's a jillion people that share these things, said it was one of these things like, Roger Rosengarten asked for Myles Garrett jersey, and you're not going to believe the reply. I'm like, oh, I hope he told him to go die.
Yeah.
I hope he told him, which is what I thought, like Myles Garrett, like a dog would do that. Like, can you imagine walking up to James Harrison and asking for his jersey in the middle of a game?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I feel like he'd be like, he would figure out a way to take that as a reason to seek you out and injure you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to blast this kid. He would look at it as disrespect
and
somehow.
I feel like 20, 25 years ago, that would have been the norm. Would have been like, what are you talking? Get away from me. Especially like an AFC North rivalry. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that division is the most collegiate of the division.
You want to talk about old school manufacturing hate? I believe it was Greg Lloyd. I know it was Keenan McCardle was my teammate who was going through this. Keenan McCardle was out on the field playing the Steelers, and Greg Lloyd, I'm pretty sure it was Greg Lloyd because this is the kind of thing he would pull, came up to him and was like, you're calling my house? You're calling my house in the middle of the night talking to my wife? And Keenan's like, what the hell are you talking about?
He's just making stuff up.
Making stuff up in his head. Lloyd would do that. He would kind of like manufacture reasons to hate guys, you know?
Stuff you guys see on the field.
He would create this scenario. I didn't see it firsthand. Keenan was telling us about it afterwards. And Keenan's like, what? What on earth are you talking about? Yeah. The one time I had a moment like that, my rookie year, we were playing Washington. And Bruce Smith was there. Bruce Smith was a child.
Oh, later in his career, yeah.
I sought him out after the game just to kind of pay my respects. And I remember thinking afterwards, I was like, I think the way that Bruce Smith took it was I think it made him feel really old.
Yeah.
He almost was like, he appreciated me saying, like, oh, I love you growing up and everything. But I'm this peach fuzz-faced rookie that, like, is super young, like, talking about how awesome he was back in the day.
Oh, you should have done it before the game.
I said, hey, Bruce, don't worry about your lack of production, okay? You're still a swell. You're still a hero historically, okay? Hey, don't worry about your don't worry about how your career has declined.
In retrospect, you should have done it before the game because it might have messed with him a little bit.
It might have set him off.
That's true.
That's a sleeping giant right there.
That's true.
Remember, we talked about that with David Anderson and Drew Hodgson before the game a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
A defensive lineman, let your inner psycho out. Offensive lineman, there is a little bit of an element. I might have to respect this kid if his strategy was, I'm going to take a little fire out of this guy's step, Myles Garrett, by really greasing him up, buttering him up. Because offensive linemen are usually pretty smart about, like, there's certain guys you just don't poke the bear. You don't poke the bear. This guy might just kind of cruise along. As long as you don't poke the bear, so I'm just going to be the opposite of poking the bear. I'm going to butter him up.
All right, let's get to this one since we mentioned it coming into this segment. This is we don't do a lot of college basketball on this show, but when Mick Cronin, UCLA men's basketball coach, very successful coach, as you're about to hear him remind you, was a coach at Cincinnati for many, many years.
Yeah.
Got the UCLA job, done a good job at UCLA, but we're living in a new world now with NIL. And in basketball, it's very acute. Because that's been a sport for a long time. I feel like the agents and hangers-on have been a thing in basketball for maybe long, with AAU and everything else. And it's just a more individualized sport that it's probably harder to manage. It sounds weird to say because it's a smaller roster, but I feel like that element might be very difficult to manage, especially if you're old school like Mick Cronin. So maybe some of that is bleeding into the evaluation of his team, but they lost to Michigan the other night in a Big Ten matchup. By 19 points, and he was none too happy with his squad after the game.
But we don't play. We're soft. So don't tell me you want to win. Like, just don't tell me you want to win. So don't tell me you want to win. It's crazy, you know. And it's every day. I'm tired of it. It's every day. I have the most energy of anybody at practice every day. I'm upset with everybody in that locker room, my assistant coaches and my players. I mean, I don't need to do anything else. I almost got 500 wins. I'm only 53. I mean, it's a joke. It's a joke. But yet I come in and I have more passion and energy and pride than everybody in. That's the problem. So what the truth of it has been, it's really hard to coach people that are delusional. The hungry dog gets the bone. We got guys that think they're way better than they are. They're nice kids. They're completely delusional about who they are.
Okay. Rally the troops.
You know what?
What was
it? It would have been an awesome speech if he hadn't brought up his own resume. All of it was probably true. He does probably have a bunch of delusional guys that think they should be multimillionaires already and everything. I believe all of that. I don't know why he felt the need to point out his own resume. And also the whole kind of like, look at me, I'm the cock of the walk, that part of it. That's where it turned it. It felt a little bit like Aaron Rodgers, where he's like, yeah, we're in criticizing the guys on the team who are talking to the media. He's doing it while talking to the media. Like the ultimate hypocrisy moment is like, dude, you're not being very old school if you're sitting up there trumping up your own resume as you're criticizing these guys for not being old school enough.
He hit for the cycle in that thing, man. If you're counting, and then by the way, that was a kind of one of those like internet cut-ups of things he said throughout the press conference.
Yeah, it wasn't as bad as it. Yeah.
Those things weren't all condensed.
Yeah.
He didn't cut a promo on him like that.
Yeah.
Those are all things he said throughout the press conference that were sort of chopped up and mashed up together. But he called them soft.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big one.
I'm cool with that.
Don't tell me you want to win.
Yeah.
Said that three times.
I like that.
I have the most energy of anybody out there.
Yeah, that's what I'm like. All right, okay, good. You're really distancing yourself from the situation here, aren't you?
I felt like if he just said, "I have the most energy of anybody out there at practice," and it shouldn't be that way,
you know? Like, yeah, yeah.
But it almost felt like very braggy. I'm upset with everybody. So the coaches are in the like.
Yeah, the assistant coaches.
He's
everybody.
On a pedestal
everybody
above
except
everybody.
Me.
Everybody except me. Yes.
Very Jamie Tart like. Is what it was like. It felt very much like, yeah.
Yes. This is the best one. I don't need to do anything else. I've got 500 wins, and I'm 53 years old.
Yeah, that's where it went south.
Like, I don't even need to work. Like, I've got, you know how much money I've got in the bank right now? I don't even need to work, man. That's what I heard.
Yeah, the whenever you conspicuously
delusional?
Point yourself to the point to yourself as the emblem of all of it is yeah. good and holy, you got to be kind of careful about that. I don't think Jesus was like, I don't think there are a lot of whole quotes out there where Jesus is like, hey, look at me.
Right.
Look at me.
Right.
I don't have to be out here doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
And also God himself. I still don't understand how it works, but I don't have to do any of this. I got you guys out here blaspheming, adulterating, all this stuff.
That was the,
hell? Let the others say it for you. If you're that great, that was the one thing Joseph did. In that whole story, mm-hmm. was Joseph sat Jesus down when he was like 12 years old. He's like, listen, Jesus, you know, let the others say it for you. You know, you're going to have a band. A merry band of apostles here.
Disciples,
at some point. They can
yeah.
do all of that.
Yeah. Mick Cronin Christ figure is what I heard. Just what you
basically
said.
That was the part they cut out. He said, like, I am the Lord.
That actually, your Jesus talk was what they cut out of the Bible. That was a deleted scene. That's actually what was said at the dinner
yeah.
that night.
Like, yeah, back
hey, listen,
they,
man.
Yeah.
Y'all are delusional and soft, okay?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Look at me.
Yeah, look at me.
What would Jesus do?
Right.
Elevate himself above others. Look, I'm up here on the... Why am I the one on the cross? Hey, you losers. You bummed. That was the speech that he gave. They couldn't hear it. It was just right out of earshot. Why me?
Yeah.
You're the bums who, yeah. Yeah, let others say it for you.
Mick Cronin. Yeah. I'm up here. I got 500 wins. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you.
That was a Jack Easter. I stole that from Jack Easterby. That was one of his speeches.
Payne.
He competed on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
That is an actual quote.
Payne and Pendergast. Yeah, find it. It's on YouTube somewhere, I'm sure. Payne and Pendergast with you. You want to hear dysfunctional in the division? We talked about the AFC South a little bit earlier. This will make you feel really good about where the Texans are in the division when you hear this coming up next.